Should evangelical Christians support Donald Trump for president? And I've got some thoughts about the tragic Planned Parenthood shootings and anti-Christian hysteria.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, a whole lot has happened since I spoke to you last on Friday, just a couple of days ago. This is Michael Brown. I am delighted to be with you today. Number to call to get in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-3487-884. I will weigh in on the tragic shootings at Planned Parenthood, which are completely contrary to the teaching of Jesus, completely contrary to the pro-life movement. Heinous, despicable acts that every person of conscience should absolutely deplore and renounce. And there is no connection between these shootings and the pro-life movement. The pro-life movement is just that, a pro-life movement. We'll talk about that in a little while. We'll talk about, is there such a thing as Christian terrorism? You've got Islamic terrorism. Is there such a thing as Christian terrorism? We'll discuss that today. And I want to give you an opportunity to call in if you are a supporter of Donald Trump for president. You believe that he is the best candidate and that he should be the one that we're supporting for president. And you consider yourself a follower of Jesus. I'd like to talk to you. I wrote an article, came out over the weekend, and on one website, townhall.com, and then released on many others today. And we put out a video that went out on Friday night that's gotten tens of thousands of views between YouTube and Facebook so far, why evangelical Christians should not support Donald Trump for president. A hot issue, could be a volatile issue. Nothing I'm going to divide over. Everyone's got to vote according to their conscience. As an individual, I've endorsed Senator Ted Cruz. As a ministry, we don't endorse anyone. And as a ministry, we'll be covering everything as fairly and conscientiously as we can, agreeing with certain candidates, disagreeing with others, whoever they may be. But I have grave concerns as to how those of us who say that we are morally based people, those of us who say that integrity matters, those of us who say that a biblical worldview matters, how we could say, but yeah, we'll overlook the personality flaws with Donald Trump. We'll overlook the things we don't like, and no one's calling him a real Christian, but we think he could get the job done. That concerns me because I did a poll. I asked folks on social media. Now, again, this is going to be mainly believers responding because of those following me on social media. I said, we're not electing a pastor, but I believe the president should be a person of real integrity. Do you agree? 98% of those responding said, yes, yes, the person running for president should be a person of real integrity. Prior to that, I conducted a poll asking, do you believe the president of the United States should be a God-fearing individual? 92% responded with yes to that poll. So if the vast, vast, vast majority of you believe that the president should be a person of real integrity and should be a God-fearing person, and many of you would say, yeah, I don't see Donald Trump in that way, but he's a strong leader. We need somebody strong. He can get the job done. Don't you find that contradictory? Now, interestingly, it was announced that there were 100 black pastors, evangelical black pastors, who were going to be announcing their support for Donald Trump today. Then in Ebony Magazine, there was a counter article with over 130 black spiritual leaders and academics denouncing this, calling them to reconsider. And I would dare say, based on looking up some of those who signed this and the tone of their article, that they would very much be pro-Obama supporters. So they called for reconsideration. Well, then word got out that there was a misunderstanding, that these pastors were going for a private meeting with Donald Trump, not for a public endorsement. The plot thickens. If you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, and right now you believe Donald Trump is our best candidate, I want to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH.
fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown here. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, I'm not going to be contentious with you. I'm not going to get into a fight with you. I am not a political voice. I'm your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I do want to understand, if you're supporting Donald Trump, you consider yourself an evangelical, how you are doing that or justifying that. If you find that there are moral weaknesses or things that you differ with. One woman said, look, I'm not saying he's Christian. I'm not saying he's moral, but he's what we need to restore America to greatness. And I wonder, can you restore America to greatness if you have a crude and rude, reckless president? Will that work? So we'll talk. But again, I'm not gonna be contentious with you. All right, I want to hear from you. I'll differ with you, probably, but I want to hear from you. Before I get to your calls, before we turn to the phones, I want to address the shooting at Planned Parenthood. As soon as I heard the news that there was a shooting at Planned Parenthood, before anything was announced, and as of this moment, as I'm speaking on Monday, there is not an official motive that's been released. As soon as I heard it, I posted on Facebook that this violates the principles of pro-life, violates the principles of Jesus. And I knew, of course, that there would be charges. Aha! You see, it's not just Islamic terror, it's Christian terror. Christian terrorism at work here. This is the real face of the pro-life movement. I knew that that rhetoric would be forthcoming, and of course I was going to address it before it began to be forthcoming. But soon enough, I'm seeing charges all over social media raising these issues. People are saying to me, when are you going to denounce Christian terrorism the way you address and denounce Islamic terrorism? When are you going to address radical Christianity the way you address radical Islam? Well, to be sure, radical Islam says, deny Jesus as Son of God or will behead you, and radical Christianity says you can behead me, but I won't deny him. Yeah, you're talking about two very, very different expressions of the faith here. But pro-lifers immediately began making statements. Jason Benham said this, true pro-lifers care about life, including employees and clients of Planned Parenthood, praying for those in Colorado Springs shooting. Tony Perkins, Family Research Council, while the investigation into the shooting at the Planned Parenthood Center continues, regardless of what the motive is determined to be, we strongly condemn this violence. Only through peaceful means, not violence, can we truly become a nation that once again values all human life, born and unborn. Yeah, I tweeted out as well. Listen, if in fact pro-lifers wanted to kill abortion doctors, then there would be thousands of abortion doctors killed by now. God forbid. Nonetheless, you have folks like Bette Midler. Quote, thanks to overheated screeds spewing from the mouths of the GOP and in Congress, innocent people have died in Colorado, including a policeman. And we share the concerns of many Americans that extremists are creating a poisonous environment that feeds domestic terrorism in this country. One blogger said this, Christian terrorism is a bigger threat to U.S. freedom than Islamic extremism. And he concluded his article with these plainly ridiculous words. Today's attack is an act of religious terrorism. There should be no other words to describe it. Just as many demand we label terrorism carried out in the name of Islam as Islamic terrorism, we must do the same to Christianity and realize the Christian religion is just as dangerous and prone to incite violence as its younger brother, Islam. In fact, a respected Newsweek journalist Kurt Eichenwald tweeted, the time has come to hold David Lyden accountable for violence spawned by his lying baby body parts video. Indict him for manslaughter. All right. I've interacted with some of these people, and I've said that the rhetoric from them, from the left, is irresponsible and even irrational. Okay, as of this moment, we still do not know specifically what the motive of the shooter was. But let's just say that because he saw these videos exposing what Planned Parenthood was doing, and what Planned Parenthood has done is evil, and what this shooter has done is evil, let's just say that he saw those videos and based on that decided he was going to take action against the Planned Parenthood clinic. Let's just say he decided that. And point of fact, there's nothing Christian about this guy. His, according to reports, after his divorce in 2000, he appears to have posted apocalyptic rants online, so maybe quotes from the Bible that it's the end of the world, and sought sadomasochistic sex and pot-smoking companions. There's nothing Christian about that. There is nothing in the teaching of Jesus whatsoever that supports going out and killing people because you disagree with their ideology or you disagree with their actions. We're not talking about a war where someone comes to invade your country and you're fighting back. We're talking about going to a Planned Parenthood clinic and shooting people, shooting the police. There is nothing in the teaching of Jesus that supports that and everything in the teaching of Jesus that goes against it. There is no example from the early church that supports it and everything from the early church that goes against it. Not only so, there is not a syllable from any respected pro-life leader in the world that supports this or pro-life organization in the world that supports this. The pro-life movement has been an overwhelmingly peaceful movement and opposed those who said, we're going to take the law into our own hands and kill people like late-term abortion doctor George Tiller. The pro-life movement opposed those people. And the fact that you have one lone person who seems to be deranged and unstable without any clear connection to a Christian church or denomination or pro-life movement where he's imbibing their teachings and carrying them out, zero whatsoever. That illustrates the fact that the pro-life movement is a peaceful movement. Otherwise, as I said, there would be thousands of abortion doctors killed. God forbid. So to call this Christian terrorism is a complete oxymoron. There is no connection between the gospel and terrorism. And that's why when you go through history and you find an aberrant group or an aberrant movement, the exception proves the rule. With radical Islam, it is the example of Muhammad who beheaded his captives. It is the example of the early Muslim leaders who advanced Islam with the sword. It is based on texts of the Quran and texts in the Hadith and examples through Islamic history and the words of major Islamic leaders today. There is a complete contrast between radical Islam and radical Christianity. Therefore, I completely reject the notion that this can be attributed to, quote, Christian terrorism. No such thing. All right, with that, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's get to those of you who are supporters of Donald Trump and consider yourself evangelical Christians. And listen, the reason that I single out evangelical Christians is because that would be the largest single demographic group in my listening audience and reading audience, and the ones that theoretically are basing their views especially on Scripture. Okay? 866-34-TRUTH. And again, I want to hear primarily from those who support Donald Trump. If you don't support him, I'll let you get on briefly, but I want to hear primarily from those who do support him right now. Now, I am not saying that if he was running against Hillary Clinton, we shouldn't vote for him. I could not possibly vote for Hillary Clinton or any of the current Democratic candidates, just as I could not possibly vote for Barack Obama in the previous two elections, as much as I wanted to. I really wanted to, but I couldn't. I'm not talking about that possibility, Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. Last poll I read, six different Republican candidates would beat Hillary Clinton. But I am talking about whether we should be supporting him as the Republican candidate when, in my view, we have a number of solid alternatives. Yes, I've endorsed Senator Cruz personally, but there are others I would vote for if they were up against Hillary Clinton. I would vote for Marco Rubio. I would vote for Mike Huckabee. I'd probably vote for Carly Fiorina. I'd vote for others rather than Hillary Clinton. But we're talking about supporting someone for the Republican nomination now. I do not see why we should be supporting Donald Trump because of his very evident character flaws. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall, and on it goes. These give me pause for grave concern. We'll start in Carroll, Iowa. Tom, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael, thanks for taking my call. I'll be real brief. On that shooter in Colorado, I also heard he was transgendered, so maybe he just finally realized that you cannot actually be a woman inside a man's body, or maybe he realized he'd never be able to have a child or something. I don't know. But as far as Donald Trump goes, the quote that made me believe he's not a true Christian is when they asked him, do you ever ask God for forgiveness of your sins? And he said, no, I don't really look at it that way. You know, I just try and be the best me that I can be. And it's like, that sounds like modern-day church nonsense, which unfortunately a lot of modern-day churches are going to, but not a good understanding of Christianity.
Oh, yeah, just on a fundamental level. You know, and then he subsequently said, well, with Anderson Cooper asking him when he takes communion, that's a form of asking for forgiveness, but basically doesn't really think he needs to ask forgiveness because he's a decent person. Yeah, so it seems self-evident. He believes he's a Christian, but he doesn't understand what a Christian is. But I'm not even putting a religious test on him. We're talking a moral test. I want to hear from supporters.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. It's my goal, by God's grace, to function as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. I want to remind you, if you didn't get the e-blast from us, that we're extending our Black Friday special offer over to Cyber Monday, which means go to the website, askdrbrown.org. Any order you place of any size whatsoever, any order of any size whatsoever, you get 30% off and postage paid. Yeah, so a tremendous way to stock up with some books and resources that will be a blessing to you and perhaps to family and friends during the Christmas season. So that's AskDrBrown.org, only available online. AskDrBrown.org expires at the end of the day, but something we wanted to do to be a blessing to you at this time of the year. Dr. Ben Carson has gotten some hot water with the pro-life movement and many conservatives by saying that both sides need to tone down the rhetoric. The pro-life movement and the left need to tone down the rhetoric and have civil discourse. And that's gotten many, many pro-lifers to say, what are you talking about? Tone down the rhetoric. We've been careful in our speech for decades. We've been very careful in what we've said and how we've said it and what we've presented. What do you mean, tone down the rhetoric? Ted Cruz was asked, Senator Cruz was asked about the shootings. He was the first to make a public statement praying for the families of the victims and things like that. What a, again, horrific, horrific crime, horrific act, unjustifiable under any possible explanation. Well, he was asked, did you hear that it was reported that the shooter mentioned no more body parts or baby parts, something like that? So it's clear that he was shooting because of the videos. And Ted Cruz said it's also reported that he was a transgendered left activist. In other words, we don't know anything yet until we get an official report about his motive. You had all kinds of things that have been reported. That was his point, because the guy was registered as a Democrat but using a female name. And was he transgendered? Was he a left activist? Who knows at this point? And even though police have gotten statements, apparently the guy's all over the place. And in any case, as I emphasized in the last segment, zero connection between him and the pro-life movement and between him and the gospel. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Linda in Brooklyn, New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, okay. It's my turn, right? All right. I want to say that people and myself will probably vote for Donald Trump if and only if he's the Republican nominee. As far as for him as a person and his comments, I'm not in agreement. I wanted to also say that there's no justification for killing people who go to abortion clinics. So that gentleman in Colorado, the man was mentally unstable. But what was interesting was that Hillary and Bernie, they mischaracterized the Republicans who are pro-life as a way of, you know, what do you want to say, political expediency? That's how they pushed that. But now, to say whether or not, you know, I raise a question as to whether or not we can really say which president or politician is a Christian. The current president, from what we understand, at least from what I understand, he attended Reverend Wrong Church. I say that way because it was said that he attended this church for 20 years, but his politics raises the question if Reverend Wrong ever shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with the present, current president. He says he's a Christian, but his actions says he supports Planned Parenthood, abortion, Hillary, and Bernie.
Redefining marriage. Yeah. In fact, Linda, just to jump in, in point of fact, I see no evidence whatsoever that President Obama understands what the gospel really means, what salvation by faith through grace alone really means, Jesus being the only way to the Father. Would he say that Muslims are not heaven-bound? I doubt it. Yeah, so no evidence by his words, by his beliefs, none whatsoever that would indicate that he's a Christian. And Jeremiah Wright, I think, probably shared the gospel in different points, but it was always intermixed with his racist beliefs and politics and insightful, hateful words. So, and again, thanks for the call, Linda. My question is not whether Donald Trump is a Christian or not, but does he have the moral base to be our president? I say no. I say his reckless words, the kindergarten type of attacks on others, you don't want that from a president. You want a statesman. You can be bold without being rude. There are other candidates who want to fight illegal immigration. There are other candidates who care about the rights of Christians. In fact, some have a proven stance for that for years. There are other candidates that have good business sense. I don't see a justification. Again, we're not talking about Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or Martin O'Malley or somebody else. We're talking about for the Republican nominee. I don't see a justification for it. There's too much, in my view, in my personal opinion, that you have to overlook, look away from. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tony in Springfield, Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Bible quote I like for the reason that me and my family are supporting Donald Trump is, learn truth and the truth will set you free. And he also tells you, don't prepare your words. If you look at all these other politicians, they lie about their faith, just like Obama.
Oh, wait, hang on.
They're very prepared.
Wait, hang on, Tony. All these other candidates lie about their faith? You actually believe that, Tony?
Of course I do. You don't?
You gotta be kidding me. You don't know that some of these guys, for years and years and years,
ask everybody that calls up if they don't think that politicians lie about their
Tony,
faith.
Tony, you're saying all the Republican candidates are lying about their faith. Mike Huckabee is not a serious, long-term, Bible-believing Christian who has evidenced that in his life for decades. I'll just use him as one example.
Parts of his faith.
Come on, Tony, you're wow. All right, I want to keep talking to you, all right? I do want to keep talking, so stay right there. Phone lines are jammed. I'm going to get to everybody, all right? So I'm jumping in because we got a break. You'll get to speak your mind, okay? All right.
Okay.
Let me repeat. Wow. Tony will get to respond, but wow. Oh, by the way, 30% off postage paid. That's my bad. 30% off on everything in our store, all my books, DVDs, resources, online, AskDrBrown.org. And let's pray, God, your very best, your will be done for President of the United States in 2016.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, so we're interacting with those who support Donald Trump, believe he's the best candidate. And I said, I'm not going to be contentious, but I will interact because I have grave concerns about Donald Trump as our potential president. By the way, the first debate, I wanted to see how he did. I thought, okay, let's see. Let's see if I get behind him. Let's see where he stands. Let's see where he's coming from. And I was kind of shocked then with what, because I always try to give the benefit of the doubt and forget the past and so on and so forth. And look, the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And there are two passages. I could give many, 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 especially from Proverbs. Proverbs 29:20, do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Proverbs 29:11, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. Those things concern me deeply. So, Tony, I just want to say this, Tony in Springfield, and then you get to talk. I've been up close with some candidates. I have friends who've known some of the other candidates for years. And some of them are clearly, deeply committed Christians who have been living out their faith for years, even when it's been costly, even when it hasn't been popular. So to just say that they're all lying about their faith, to me, that's not only a bogus statement, that's an ugly judgmental statement. But when you talk about them being prepared or so on, look, I talk extemporaneously constantly. I was out speaking in Montreal last week and spoke, I don't know, 5-6 hours with no notes for any of my presentations. I mean, that's normal. I often sit down for radio just with things in my head and maybe clips I'm going to refer to, but no notes. So I'm all for speaking extemporaneously based on the preparation of your whole life leading up to that. But the problem is when you are just venting things and speaking things irresponsibly and recklessly, That's going to lead to a lot of problems, especially if you're the president of the United States. So back to you, and I'll just listen. You get the last word in. Go ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. I was going to say, I'm calling up because you're judging Donald Trump, so I'm just asking that you judge the other candidates. And if people really were Christians, then we wouldn't have abortion, because there's more than enough, the Republicans have ruled the Senate and House of Representatives, they could have stopped things a while ago. They wouldn't have worried about budgets and all that. So, of course, they make things. And keeping quiet, you're right. Proverbs has a lot of great advice for being a man of God, but it doesn't have advice for being a political man. So someone who follows that advice probably won't do that good in politics. Unfortunately, the world is of the dark, is of the prince of this world, is Satan. And to be honest, I think a lot of people that claim to be Muslim or Jewish or Christian, a lot of them are Satanists. And it goes exactly in line with the Bible, and it goes exactly in line with what I see in today's world.
Got it. All right. Well, Tony, I appreciate you weighing in. Just so you can know my thoughts on your statements, I'm with you completely that the Republican establishment is just that, the establishment. And if these people were true to their faith, more of them were, that things would be different. Yeah, I totally agree with you. So I'm not saying this to argue with you. I want to affirm that point. That's why I like Ted Cruz. He's taken on the establishment. That's why I would look for another candidate who's taken on the establishment who's not part of it. That's why I wondered about Donald Trump not being part of the establishment. But next you read Proverbs, ask yourself if it does talk about righteous rulers and unrighteous rulers. Look at that. Ask if it talks about wisdom for the king. Sure does, actually. And then look at how it characterizes fools. Under no circumstances would the book of Proverbs want us to have someone characterized as a fool. I'm not calling Donald Trump a fool. I'm saying look at biblical descriptions of a fool and ask, do I want someone who goes in that direction to be the president? That would be the bigger question. Thank you for weighing in. Phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH. We come back straight to your calls on Donald Trump.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. I'm Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you've been trying to get through, now is a good time. Our phone lines were jammed, and apparently a bunch of callers couldn't hold. So now is a great time to call 866-348-7884. If you're a Christian and you believe Donald Trump would be the best candidate, I'd love to hear from you. I differ. I have strong concerns as to why. If you want to raise why you think another candidate would be better, we'll take some calls on that as well. 866-348-7884. We go to Joe on Long Island. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Yeah, I was just driving around in my car, and I stumbled on your program, decided to try to call in, and I can't believe I'm on, actually.
You're on. Yeah, you were helped by a bunch of callers that couldn't hold somehow, so here you are.
Here I am. Well, just briefly, I heard a little bit of your program about 10 minutes before I called, and I think I like what Donald Trump is standing for more than I like his personality and the way he talks. I know when I was a kid, I was taught, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. Seems like there's a real emphasis on this these days. Not on if the job is getting done or if the right things are going to get done, but how nicely people talk, you know? And while I agree with you that Ted Cruz is probably the best choice, it just doesn't look like he's going to beat Trump, you know? And if given the choice of Trump versus Hillary, I don't think you'd have any doubt who we all vote for, right?
Yeah, well, certainly I couldn't possibly vote for Hillary. I would really have to pray about voting for Donald Trump, to be honest. But I under no circumstances could I vote for Hillary. And if I had to have a choice between the two, obviously I would prefer Donald Trump to Hillary Clinton. But listen, the first thing is, it's way too early to know with any of the candidates where they stand and where they're going to stand in the caucuses. I mean, the most recent polls from Iowa, Trump and Cruz were almost neck and neck in Iowa. And then there's the large scale campaigning. There are a lot of things that go into it. I'm no expert on it, but you might have one that for the short haul is doing better and another one that for the long haul does better.
Right. Right.
But I'll give you an example. Chris Christie is not my favorite candidate. All right. Just a number of things put him a bit too much establishment for me, a bit too much centrist for me, not conservative enough. But Chris Christie is forthright, is going to tell it like it is. He's from New Jersey. He's going to shoot straight. I think that he could face down other world leaders and not be a wimp about it. But I don't see him speaking recklessly the way Donald Trump would. Here, Carly Fiorina. She's not my number one candidate. There are a number of things I like about her, but she wouldn't be at the top of my list. She could. She's bold. She's forthright. She's passionate. She's fearless, and yet she's not reckless. So that's my concern. And I know you're not arguing against this, Joe, but what I'm hearing from a lot of Trump supporters is, if I'm not nasty, if I'm not mean-spirited, if I'm not in the insult attack mode, then I'm not strong. And that's what concerns me.
Totally in agreement with you. In agreement with you. Just to get to your main question, why you wanted people calling in, what attracts me to Trump is he seems to be aware of what's really going on with regards to Christianity versus Islam. And I think many people are trying to ignore what the true underlying thing that's happening here is. And him and both Ted Cruz are aware of it, I believe. And I think you know what I'm talking about. We don't have to take up, you know, everybody else's time here on the air.
Yeah, and
that we are being attacked by Islam, and they want to spread. And this country was founded as a Christian nation. We all used to go to church when we were kids on Sundays. Then all of a sudden, in the 70s, stores started opening up on Sunday. And now it's just a free-for-all. Again, you can be married and be gay. And I just see what's happening to this country, and it's got to be reversed. So that's what attracts me to Trump.
Yeah, got it. Yeah, and listen, I believe that there are a number of candidates that want to reverse the negative trends. By the way, growing up Jewish on Long Island, I didn't go to church on Sunday, but I understand what you're saying. We used to be much more Christian in our mindset and many of our ethics, despite the flaws and failings of our nation through our history. Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. The concern I have is that there are fears, there is anger that Donald Trump is appealing to. That's what really concerns me. Fears and anger that Donald Trump is tapping into, even crudeness of Americans that he's tapping into, that could lead to a dangerous leadership situation. I believe we have almost an anarchy in our culture now due to poor leadership of President Obama. There are obviously concerns at the end of the Bush presidency and failings there and the wars we're in and should we have been in them, etc. I'm not blaming it all on President Obama, but his leadership has been negative and destructive in my view in many, many ways. And if we had Donald Trump in now, he would be coming into a void of an anarchy in society and of a lot of fear and anger. And that can be dangerous. You could elect the wrong person based on that. Hey, thank you for weighing in, Joe. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Wakefield, Massachusetts. Greg, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for having me. You have a great show when I do get to hear it, which is too rare in my case. Not for nothing that this just came off the top of my head from just what you're just saying. You're talking about fear. Sounds like that's what you're trying to tap into as far as to steer people away from Donald Trump. Just a thought. And a couple of quick thoughts I get to my primary point why I called. Number one, Chris Christie, you want to consider voting for him? You should, because he thinks he knows more than God. He doesn't think homosexual behavior is sinful. He has outright said that. So if that's a concern for you, someone that actually knows of Christianity, some of the tenets of it is, he's not your guy. That's for darn sure. He thinks he knows more than God. And as far as Donald Trump and his mouth goes, I know I have been in your spot. My theory on him, at least a theory I've somewhat think is somewhat true, is that I think he says a lot of things why people don't like him. He says a lot of things that people are actually thinking, but he doesn't have an editing system that stops him from saying it. So he just says it, and people hear it, and they're hearing something that they know is ugly inside them, but it doesn't mean it's not the truth. I'm not saying right or wrong, because I do personally. That's who I'm leaning towards right now, but I just want people to be aware of that. I've thought of it with a couple things he said, and I examined it, and I said, you know, I do feel the same way. I just never say it. But he says it. It doesn't make him, you know, he's a sinner, just like anyone else. And I'm going to say that the reason I called is I'm going to call you out as a sinner, and something I would think was pretty irritating to me. It's why I actually pulled over off a highway to call two calls ago. For example, when you were calling Donald Trump, you were inferring, to me at least, that he was crude and blah, blah, blah. Yet you had a man on the line, and you said you'd give him the last word, and he spoke, and then he was gone, and then you came back on, and you proceeded to rip Donald Trump more and moved on. You did not give the man the last word to defend Donald Trump as not being crude, and you called him somewhat of a... It wasn't a joker. It was nothing complimentary. That's for darn sure. But the biggest point is you told the man you've got the last word. He hung up, and then you went off on Donald Trump again. I think that pretty bad.
Actually, so let me respond. First, I'm not appealing to people's fears. I'm saying let's carefully look at things. Let's analyze things from a scriptural viewpoint. Let's be biblical in our worldview. Very, very different than appealing to people's fears. Secondly, regarding Chris Christie, I said he's too centrist for me and not conservative enough. And one of the big issues is where he stood on homosexuality with redefining marriage in North America and banning, in New Jersey rather, and banning counseling for those with unwanted same-sex attraction who are minor. I was simply saying there are many candidates who could be strong and face up to others. All right, that's the second point there. Regarding the no editing system, yeah, that's a problem. You need to speak with wisdom if you're going to be the president. What if he's bashing the Chinese like this one day, or the Russians like this the next day, or going after, you know, or some crazy regime that may do something crazy based on it? You can't do that. You need to have an editing system. And the point is, based on the book of Proverbs, someone without an editing system is classified as a fool. So you don't want someone like that. And in point of fact, I never thought Marco Rubio sweats too much. I never thought about Megyn Kelly with blood coming out of her eyes or somewhere else. I never thought that Carly Fiorina had an ugly face. I mean, I didn't think these things, or that Ben Carson should be compared to a child molester, someone pathological who can't change. And regarding the last caller, they were not hung up on. They were still there. What I did was I reinforced what they said about the establishment. I said, I agree with you on that. I agree that the establishment, the Republican establishment, has not acted as Christian. I said, so I'm saying that to agree with you. And just regarding the book of Proverbs, I didn't go after Donald Trump again. I said, regarding the book of Proverbs, read it again, because it does talk about kings and how kings should rule. And it does give characteristics of a fool, which is our question. So in point of fact, I did my best to be quite in harmony with the rules I'm setting. Thank you for the call. Appreciate you being forthright, buddy. More calls when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Again, a great concern I have is what Donald Trump is tapping into in America. He's tapping into an anger. He's tapping into a fear. He's tapping into, well, maybe even uglier aspects of human character, tapping into a crudeness, too. Yeah, he says it like I'd say it. Well, that's a problem, the way we're all saying it, the lack of civility. Look, I'm fully aware in the early history of the United States of America that the presidential candidates went after each other in ways that are even harsher than today. I'm talking about crude, insulting, and things that would be completely unacceptable today. I understand that. And there are different times in history and culture where people communicated in different ways. But let's just say that there was an attack on our nation. You want someone. Here, I'll give an example. I saw a statement to the press, to the media, I should say, statement to the nation from President Reagan after a terrorist attack. And then that video followed a statement made by President Obama to the media after terrorist attack. And the differences between them were profound in terms of strength, in terms of what was being conveyed, in terms of the sense that we will respond and we will respond strongly. Now, yeah, I know that Donald Trump would respond strongly, but he could respond in ways that are also reckless. And again, I have deep questions as to how solid his moral base is. Follow? How solid, how deeply grounded is Donald Trump's moral foundation? I'm not saying, is he a true Christian? I see no evidence he has any understanding of what it means to be a Christian. He believes he is because he doesn't understand what it means to be a Christian. I don't believe he's lying about that. I believe he doesn't understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and he thinks he is one. But I'm not asking that question. I'm asking moral compass. If you think of Donald Trump for the last 20 years, do you think morality, integrity? Or do you think wheeler, dealer, businessman, reality TV star? The question is, who do you want to be the president of the United States? 866-34-TRUTH. And I'm not, listen, we're one in the Lord. This show, we're going to talk about things that are controversial, all right? And I'm raising questions. I'm raising issues. And I don't have some strategy. I'm going to support Senator Cruz. I'm going to try to pick off one candidate after another. Listen, if Senator Cruz said something I differed with, I'd get on the air and say I differ with it. And if Donald Trump did something I really appreciate, I'd say I really appreciate it. When Barack Obama's done something I appreciate, I've gotten on the air and said, I appreciate that. I'm glad he said that. I wish it would happen more. Trust me, I wish it would happen every single day that I could get on the radio and thank him for doing something or saying something that stood for values that are important to me and to you. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Boston, Massachusetts. AJ, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, brother, thank you.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say, first, I think it's definitely a blessing from God that we have so much wonderful candidates on the Republican side to choose from. But and I feel the same way you do that. I just don't think Donald Trump is the right, want to lead our nation, and I honestly really feel Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz, or Ben Carson would be much better What I really love about Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz is that they talk about how special America is, and that, and I really feel that they want to unite us as a country under God, and I really don't think that we would get that with Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think we'd have a lot more division than unity. Now, look, and thank you, AJ, for the call. Much appreciated. God's blessings to you. 866-34-TRUTH. Ted Cruz has been a very strong conservative and has taken on the Republican establishment. Could he be a unifying candidate? That's a fair question. I think he could be, but that's a fair question. Marco Rubio has stood strong for various values, but has been a bit more establishment. If it was Rubio versus Hillary Clinton, of course I'd vote for Marco Rubio. But would he then change things sufficiently, or would he be the candidate of the establishment? That's the question there. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to John in Las Vegas. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going, Dr. Brown? Just real quick, early on I was a big supporter of Governor Walker. That kind of fizzled out sooner than I thought. And so I was kind of left up in the air. So just so you know, more recently, your endorsement, if you will, does have some weight. Kind of been undecided. I've given Senator Cruz another look and getting a little more, doing a little more research on him. But as far as Donald Trump, I was completely baffled. And like many others, I thought, well, he'll stay, he'll leave in a bit, because I knew he'd run before, and remembered his short-lived run. Well, obviously, he's still around, and I couldn't figure out why as many people were supporting him. And call me cynical or what, but to me, it just dawned on me, it's almost a level of, we'll match our insanity with your insanity, almost like an Acme cartoon. The people on the right are just as baffled that Obama would be elected not once but twice, and kind of have that same sentiment of, are you for real? Like, this is the person you chose. So it's kind of a tit for tat. And again, call me cynical, but that's the only explanation I could come up with as far as how he has as much support as he does. Some people may have just lost their minds and said, well, we're going to go with the nuclear option now. And just said, this is, you want to play crazy? We'll play crazy too. So that's just my excitement and the explanation of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe John, it's not a conscious thing, but it is a reaction from one extreme to another, meaning that some Americans are very upset with Barack Obama, some that thought he was just going to turn the economy around overnight, some that thought he was going to be a more moderate leader, some that really feel he's been divisive, whatever the fact is. And now maybe they see with illegal immigration, and now with potential of radical Islam coming in the country and things like that, they see more and more things that are concerning them. And they're now going to go the other extreme in ways that could even be counterproductive or dangerous. But they're just going to go to this other extreme thinking this is the best way to go. But hey, John, thank you for the call. Look, I understand that many people think, all right, Donald Trump, and he is a reality TV star, he's famous, incredibly rich, he's not beholden to anyone, he's fearless, speaks his mind, he articulates the frustrations, anger of millions of his countrymen, gives the impression he can fix our economy, put an end to illegal immigration, he's not a Washington insider, he could be a strong leader who could face down our global enemies, he can even be winsome, self-effacing at times. There are a lot of reasons that people would like him. My concerns remain the same. I've written on it. Check my latest article or check my latest video for more information on why I have these concerns. All right, everybody holding. In fact, I'll give you the precise order. Kelly, and Teresa. So go to Oklahoma, Iowa, and Virginia in the second hour. If you can stay, you'll be the first three up in the next hour. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Remember to visit the website, 30% off on all your purchases today at AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, what kind of man do you want to be leading our nation? What kind of man or woman? If integrity matters, think hard. Should evangelical Christians support Donald Trump for president? And I've got some thoughts about the tragic Planned Parenthood shootings and anti-Christian hysteria.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
A little later in this broadcast, a few minutes from now, I'm going to read to you some of the things that supporters of Donald Trump wrote to me, said to me, after I posted a video on Friday, recorded during our radio broadcast, as to why I question how evangelical Christians can support Donald Trump for president. We're not talking about Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. We're talking about Donald Trump as the Republican candidate. All right? It's a whole other question if it was Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or someone else. We're talking about Donald Trump versus the Republican candidates who we should be backing. As a result of my video and subsequent article, Why Evangelical Christians Should Not Support Donald Trump, I've gotten a lot of very interesting responses. And it's not based on saying who'd be the best pastor, who'd be the best pope, who'd be the best priest. It's based on saying who'd be the best president. But I believe that the man or woman that we elect to be president needs to be someone of strong moral character, strong moral foundations, proven strength in issues that are key to us with family and pro-life issues, and someone that could be trusted as a statesman in the White House. And I do not see Donald Trump as that person. Now, again, I've endorsed Senator Ted Cruz personally, not as a ministry, but personally. But I do believe that there are other fine candidates that we have. So, for example, there are some candidates. Let's just say Mike Huckabee somehow got this sudden surge of popularity and made it to be the Republican candidate. I'd vote for him in a heartbeat. If Marco Rubio was the Republican candidate, I have a couple of reservations that are serious reservations, but I'd vote for him. There are some others that I would probably vote for. Others I wouldn't. Ted Cruz would be my first choice. But I have concerns when we have to kind of look the other way with some of the moral issues, some of the recklessness of speech, some of the self-evident pride that Donald Trump's almost proud about. Is that the person you want in the White House? Now, if that's your view, I want to give you an opportunity to say why. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call to weigh in. And I've got a few more comments about the Planned Parenthood shootings, the tragic shootings there that are in complete violation of the teaching of Jesus and the pro-life movement. I did speak about that in the first hour. Let's start in Warner, Oklahoma. Kelly, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hey, I heard Don from Vegas just mention something, and it's the reason I called. He talked about the pride that's coming from the right in response to Obama.
Yeah.
And, I want you to think about something from the carnal mind, that pride breeds pride, especially in men. And in unregenerated men, you know, in the book of John, Jesus says that people who are evil, they hate the light. Ephesians in 5:11, it says expose darkness. And I'm in rural Oklahoma. There's a lot of guys who claim to be Christians on Sundays, but on Friday nights they're drunk and Saturday
yes,
nights
sir.
At the bar. And these are the guys that I see supporting Trump. And I think a lot of the reason you're not getting calls from people supporting Trump right now is because you're shining light on this subject like the Word says to do. And men or women, I hope they're feeling convicted about what you're saying and repent. You know, it reminds me of one more thing is... Samuel was heartbroken when the people of Israel wanted a king. But who did God say they were really rejecting?
Yeah, they're rejecting him.
Exactly.
They're rejecting him because they didn't want him as their king. Hey, Kelly, we got a break, but thank you, sir, for weighing in. And if you're supportive of Donald Trump, give us a call.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The attack at the Planned Parenthood Clinic in Colorado. There is no proof that there was a motive on the part of the gunman that was related to any of the rhetoric we're hearing on the campaign trail. But does the attack take the issue of Planned Parenthood off the table for Republican candidates who don't want to be seen or don't want to risk taking advantage of a tragedy or being on the wrong side of a tragedy?
It certainly makes it harder to talk about it in political terms.
Yeah, that's a discussion on Bloomberg Politics managing editor Mark Halperin. Excuse me, that's Bloomberg Politics managing editor Mark Halperin on Monday's NBC Today. Co-host Matt Lauer asking the question if the tragic shooting at the Planned Parenthood facility in Colorado would hurt the GOP politically. In point of fact, there is no connection, direct connection between the shooter and the pro-life movement. And Republicans should still be as strongly pro-life as ever. And as pro-lifers, they denounce the horrific shooting at Planned Parenthood as reprehensible, evil, and completely unjustifiable. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Teresa in Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. This is Teresa.
Yes.
And it's been a long time since I called in, but it's always good to listen to your radio broadcast.
Thank you.
And you're very welcome. And I totally agree with you. I've decided to research and see exactly what each person stands for. I want to know the background. Are they just talking, or do they mean what they say? And then I balance that based on what God says. And that's what I, and then I pray, because I don't want to make any decisions without doing so. And what you say about Donald Trump, if you hear a little noise, I'm sorry, I'm at work. If what you were saying based on Donald Trump, I totally agree, because it's not how strong you talk, but how intelligent you are when you say it. And we were discussing it at work on our lunch breaks, and I said, everybody was saying they went for Trump because he's saying, like, he can handle, you know, other countries. And I said, well, the ability to get smart and the ability to get things done are two different things. I said, I feel like the man's going to have us at war every time you turn around behind his mouth.
Mm.
But I still have to say, it's sort of like you. I give, for example, now, I will listen to you as long as you follow Christ. And that's what I look for. It does. I know every president or presidential candidate is not going to be a Christian, but you have to weigh the pros and the cons and see which one is going to, you know, it's more worth it. And you do want a moral compass, so to speak. You have to, not just a compass. You want a morally correct person.
Yeah.
And because if you don't, and
you're talking about the most powerful leader in the world. You know, I mean, look, let's just think of how President Obama, just with his words, just saying that his views have evolved on marriage and things like that, and now sanctioning two men or two women, quote, marrying. Think of the influence that has. Think of how that impacts young people. Think of how that impacts those who look to him and admire him. One friend was talking about another country, not far from the United States, but primarily black population. And President Obama is an icon to them, is revered in their country. And they were telling me how his views about marriage have really impacted many of the people in that country. So you carry an unbelievable amount of weight, and you don't want someone shooting recklessly just from the hip. And listen, a concern I would have, I'm praying for Donald Trump. And if he was our president, I'd pray all the more for him. But if he shows this level of, I'm going to say what I think, and I'm going to say it, and I'm not going to back down. If he says that as a candidate, not even elected to anything, but just a presidential candidate, what if he's now empowered to be the president? It's there's an irresponsibility, like you said, that could get us in a mess, that could provoke a lot of other countries. And look, I am all for a leader being bold and strong and fearless.
But
you look at Winston Churchill, this man did not mince words. but there was forethought behind them, and that's the deeper concern. Hey, Teresa, blessings to you. May you continue in your pursuit of truth, and I appreciate your kind words.
Likewise. Have a good day.
You too. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Heath, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. Glad to speak with you this afternoon. Just real quickly, I got to be honest. I want to like Donald Trump. He is strong. He's very outspoken. But if you take a step back and look at the big picture, his MO is not very different from Obama's. I see him as the type of candidate to get what he wants, and he's obviously a well-respected businessman. But I could see him going against Congress, going against the very thing that our country is set up on, and that frightens me a little bit. As far as a candidate being a Christian, they shouldn't have to tell you whether or not they're a Christian. God gave us the fruit of the Spirit, and you should be able to see that in someone's life that would tell more about their character than anything they could say on a 30-second news blurb or in a debate.
Yeah, I don't think, generally speaking, that anyone would have mistaken Donald Trump for a committed Christian in years past. And I don't think that he sought to identify like that in any way. Again, I'm not saying he's lying. In his mind, he is a Christian because he doesn't understand what it means to be a Christian. But look, if you take someone like Mike Huckabee, everybody knows. I mean, he'd be suited to be a pastor.
Absolutely.
He's totally at home in church services. His biblical values, even when he's arguing with others, there's a certain demeanor about him. No, you may say, well, I don't think he'd make the best president. Maybe he'd make a better pastor or whatever. You may have your views on that, but there's no mistaking that. I've spent time with Senator Cruz's father, been in the back room where I had the honor of praying for Senator Cruz, and then his sharing with everyone a religious freedoms rally. There's no question where he's coming from. The question is he too conservative a Christian to be the president, as opposed to is he a Christian? So, again, you have candidates whose faith is not disputable. But look, I'm not even basing things on religious faith. I'm basing things on having a strong moral compass. That's my bigger issue right now. That's my bigger question. Does the candidate have a strong moral compass? Do you want the leader of the most powerful nation in the world and perhaps the most powerful single leader in the entire world? I mean, obviously the Pope has a lot of influence, and someone like Putin now has a lot of influence. But basically, we could say that the President of the United States is the most powerful leader in the entire world. Do you want someone that maybe power goes to their head pretty easily, or power is about who they are? So again, those are serious reasons for concern. And thank you for weighing in, sir. 866-34-TRUTH. I do want to hear from those who differ with me. I really do. If you consider yourself a Christian and you are supportive of Donald Trump, if you don't consider yourself a Christian, you can freely call, too. We're not going to restrict the calls. But I'm especially curious to know why someone who says, yes, I receive my worldview from Scripture. I hold to biblical morality. For example, George Bush would not have been elected. Barack Obama would not have been elected. If their campaign was, I believe that there should be no marriage, that everybody should be able to sleep with whoever they want, whenever they want, under any circumstances, and the government should remove all notion of marriage or commitment or anything like that. Well, obviously, someone who believed in complete sexual anarchy would not be elected. And if you had someone that their whole campaign was, I am going to make late-term abortion legal all through America, that person couldn't get elected. They'd be too radically left. And you could have someone that'd be too radically right to get elected. If they said, I want to make mandatory church attendance on Sunday for the entire nation, that person couldn't get elected. I think those things are self-evident. Well, what if there was someone whose moral foundations you seriously question? Is that the person you want to put in the White House? When we come back, I'm going to read some responses. Oh, yeah, you got to hear these. I'm going to read some responses that I have received from followers of, or supporters. I didn't mean to say followers. I didn't mean it in a demeaning way. Supporters of Donald Trump. When we come back, I want you to hear what they had to say to me for taking issue with him on video and in writing. We'll do that when we come back. We're extending our Black Friday, excuse me, resource offer special over to today on what's called Cyber Monday. Go to the website, AskDrBrown.org, 30% off everything. We'll ship in time for Christmas, well before then. Everything on the website, 30% off, to be a blessing to you. AskDrBrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I would love to hear from you if you are a supporter of Donald Trump. 866-34-TRUTH. I'd like you to tell me why, because I have some grave concerns. All right, I want to read to you some of the responses that I got to my video raising concerns about Donald Trump as our presidential candidate, Republican candidate, and my article about that. I got some interesting responses, very telling, I would say. One person said, "You're obviously on Medicare, and you will lose it if our economy is not improved." Unbelievable. No, not on Medicare. This quack is an arm of the establishment trying to keep Trump out. So if I don't believe he's the best person, I'm part of the establishment? What, one of my fundamental criterion for someone that I would vote for to be the presidential candidate or Republican candidate is that they have to be anti-establishment or outside the establishment. Because if they're inside the establishment, they won't be able to bring about change. Dr. Brown, you wimp. Go, Trump. So if I'm not nasty, mean-spirited, crude, insulting, I'm a wimp. Got it. "Oh, my God, you evangelical Christians are such blasphemers. You don't even really believe in God. You live in your little white topia away from the rest of the country. You have no idea what the real problems with this country are." That's from a Trump supporter, huh? How about that? I don't know where this one came from, but because I said Donald Trump had an issue with not understanding forgiveness, I get blasted. "You're a heretic, Dr. Brown." Doctor in quotes, of course. "You're preaching another gospel, which is not another. First get saved, and then perhaps we'll listen to you," with a link to the Real Christian website. How about this one? "Spoken like a liberal." Oh, so now I'm a liberal. I who am a conservative, not because of political beliefs, but because of biblically based moral beliefs, and am vilified by liberals, and am mocked by liberals, and attacked by liberals day and night as dangerous. Now I'm a liberal because I have a problem with Donald Trump. How blind are these people? Christians like Mike are the very reasons why we've lost our Christian youth. People actually believe this. Mike allows the world to steal and brainwash our Christian children right out of their Christian faith in World War. Are you dreaming, man? Do you live in Colorado? Are you high on something as you're writing this? You got to be kidding me. I've been involved in pouring into Christian young people for decades, grounding them in the word to be counterculture Christians. And now I differ with Donald Trump, and you're believing these delusional things? Guys like Mike give the go-ahead for the world to trample and put out the Christian voice. Obviously, Mike lacks foresight and godly wisdom into the future. And now, all in caps, "Mike is a secret Democrat liberal working towards the new world order. Mike, you've been exposed. This is meant to be serious. These people are actually believing this. I hope this is not reflective of the majority of the followers of Donald Trump. If that's the case, yikes. "Screw you, Michael Clown. Trump is God. You freaking idiot. You fool. Are you a masochist? Is this some kind of Jewish disease within certain sects of Judaism that they have the tendency to grapple up to expletives? You did last time in Nazi Germany." Wow, so if we are not rudely insulting those we differ with, then we can't be bold, then we can't be strong, then we can't have conviction. You got to be nasty to have conviction. That's what it sounds like. Dr. Brown types are the reason the Democrat Party surrogate, a.k.a. Republican Party establishment, loses elections. I've been opposing the Republican Party establishment in word, spoken, and written for years now. You're part of the fringe liberal left of evangelicals. Okay, Southern Poverty Law Center, Human Rights Campaign, Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, all these different groups that have me on your hit list. You can remove me now because I'm a great guy, actually. I am part of the fringe liberal left of evangelicals. Oh, you mean the evangelicals that I oppose in writing and call to account and call to repentance because they're no longer really evangelicals? How about this one? Another beta male neocon, chicken hawk fraud, trashing the man from New York. There you have it again. If you're not nasty, if you're not mean-spirited, if you're not somewhat vulgar in your comments, then you are just a beta male, what is it, chicken hawk fraud. And how about this last one? Oh, yeah. And by the way, this is the tiniest little sampling. Mister, you have lied to the people. And you, Mister, making this video are the very evil, and you are the devil. Yeah, you only can laugh at people who are that deluded. You got to pity them. But what concerns me is there's something in this crazy mindset where what is in common with all these people is they are fervent supporters of Donald Trump. That is scary. All right. You heard it. There are a lot more I could read and share, but you got enough. I'll probably have a video and an article about that just so you can hear all those things again. I'm not saying that all of the supporters of Donald Trump hold to those things, believe those things. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. But enough do to concern me. It was a common thread. It's a common thread. We'll go to Montgomery, Maryland, or Montgomery County, Maryland. Sid, what are your thoughts on Donald Trump? Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, hey, Dr. Brown. I called before. I just want to ask you a question regarding Ted Cruz. I like a lot what Ted Cruz stands for. I'm at this point supporting Ben Carson because I like where he stands. I believe he could be vulgar, which he's starting to be. But Ted Cruz, it's not just Ted Cruz, but Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, maybe you could answer this question, which a lot of people did not, seem to, sidestep. But to be, to run for president of the United States and be, president of the United States, you have to be a natural born citizen. And many have questioned Ted Cruz, our right for us to run for be president, and even Marco Rubio, because Ted Cruz was born in Canada and Marco Rubio, I believe, was in Cuba. So could you answer those questions for me, please? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Sid. Yeah, according to every legal definition, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio would qualify as candidates. There are attacks on that, but that's been settled some time ago. And especially with Marco Rubio, I don't think there's any question that serious question that's been raised more with Ted Cruz because his father was a Cuban immigrant, his mother was an American citizen. But that was the key thing, his mother being an American citizen and then him being raised here as an American citizen. But I don't know the details on that, but from what I've looked at, there is no question in terms of viability. Dr. Carson, many fine qualities about him. Would he be qualified to be the president with no experience in this? Are there holes in where he stands on foreign policy and other things that are raising concerns? Yes. And his recent comments about pro-life rhetoric, yes. That has raised concerns. Him implying that the pro-life side needs to be more careful in its speech after the Planned Parenthood shootings, that's raised some concerns. So Ted Cruz, born in Canada, to a mother whose birthplace is Delaware and father who hails from Cuba. Many experts agree his mother's birth in the United States and accompanying citizenship makes him a natural-born citizen, regardless of where his father was born. That's rawstory.com. Hey, Sid, thank you for the call. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. We have had a great hour and a half of broadcasting and thrilled to be with you now in our last 30 minutes. I've been opening up the phones to supporters of Donald Trump to call in and explain why they believe he would be the best presidential candidate. We're not talking about if it was Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. We're talking about Donald Trump versus Marco Rubio versus Ben Carson versus Ted Cruz versus Jeb Bush versus Mike Huckabee versus John Kasich versus Rand Paul versus Carly Fiorina versus Rick Santorum, etc. That's what we're talking about. Versus Chris Christie. We're asking whether he would be the best candidate. And my concern is simply not whether he's a true Christian, because it's self-evident that he's not and doesn't have an understanding of what that means. I'll say it again. I don't believe he's lying when he says he's a Christian. I believe he doesn't understand what it means, to be a Christian. My concern is the lack of a solid moral foundation. Now, here's what's really interesting. It was announced over the weekend that 100 evangelical Christians would be black evangelical pastors would be announcing their support for Donald Trump today. And then Ebony Magazine printed an article signed by 130 black leaders, educators, and others saying that they wanted to urge these pastors to reconsider and that Donald Trump stood against the things they stand for. Now, I would say, based on the nature of their letter in Ebony Magazine and then looking at some of the those who signed, I would say that overwhelmingly they would be very, very pro-liberal, pro-Obama, okay? So they would not be supporting any of the Republican candidates from what I could see, all right? But it turns out that the evangelical pastor said, no, it's a misunderstanding. We never said we were going to endorse him. We were going to meet with him. So that public meeting where they were going to announce the endorsement was canceled. So that plot, interestingly, thickens. But can America be great without civility? Can America be great without a leader who has a strong moral compass along with other strong characteristics? Yeah, you might say, well, Donald Trump is an alpha male or something like that, but you can be an was Ronald Reagan an alpha male? Ask that question. Was Winston Churchill an alpha male? Was Margaret Thatcher female alpha male? Yeah, you can be that kind of strong leader without being nasty and with having a strong historic moral compass. That's what I'm looking for. And I'm speaking to fellow evangelicals to say, tell me why you'd be willing to look the other way on these other issues. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Sandra in Des Moines, Iowa. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Sandra here.
Hello.
Hi. I didn't really have a question, more of a comment on when you read all the comments from the Trump supporters. It just really struck me how it sounded as if all of them could have been written by Donald Trump himself.
Scary.
So I don't know if he can go on and respond to several people. But
No. Certainly wasn't him.
So it's got to be some sort of a, you know, the state of mind, or I don't know how to describe it. It's just that same strain of thought, you know, or that.
Well, it's appealing, right? It's appealing. Again, a lot of the Trump candidacy appeals to fear in America, appeals to anger, appeals to, you know, just a lot of attitudes that you can really play into, and things could really get very intense. In other words, you could end up electing someone that is really not the best leader by appealing to
like
fear and anger. Yeah, it's a serious concern that I have. Yeah, thank you for the call. 866-34-TRUTH.
Fire we want, for fire we It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you. Getting ready to leave for my annual India trip. Tell you more about that tomorrow. And I want to hear from you. If you believe that Donald Trump is the best Republican candidate that we should that we have, you consider yourself a Christian, I'd like to hear from you because I have questions about that based on not whether he's a Christian, but whether he has a biblical worldview, whether he has a strong moral compass, whether his words are trustworthy or if they are reckless, it could be dangerous for a president. I'd like to hear from you, 866-34-TRUTH. Before I get into that, I want to discuss something else with you of great importance. No sooner did the Planned Parenthood shootings take place that people were speaking about, quote, Christian terrorism and saying, look, Christianity is just as dangerous as Islam and we need to renounce it. Of course, I utterly renounce the horrific Planned Parenthood shootings as every person of conscience would. And of course, every pro-life person would and true follower of Jesus would. But I want to contrast for a moment radical Islam with radical Christianity. In the Quran, you have clear statements about killing your enemies, fighting against unbelievers, about smiting them at the neck, crucifying them, chopping off right hand, left foot, or the alternate. You have texts like that in the Quran. You have nothing like that in the teaching of Jesus or the New Testament. The Old Testament texts about Israel killing enemies were for a certain point in time and no relevance for later culture. And clearly, the spirit of Jesus is put down your sword, take up your cross. So, number one, you have support for these radical murderous actions in the Quran. You have zero support in the New Testament. Now, let's think of Muhammad. He was first a spiritual leader, then a political leader, then a military leader. Jesus was only a spiritual leader, never a political leader, never a military leader. Muhammad not only fought in battle, but in one notorious case, beheaded more than 600 Jewish captives. These were men who had surrendered, young men who had surrendered. He beheaded them either personally or with help of others, beheaded them. Jesus went to the cross and died. And Muhammad was a fighter. Muhammad was a military leader. Jesus told his disciples, don't fight for me. I'm going to the cross. That's my destiny. Now, the followers of Muhammad, what did they do? They advanced Islam with the sword, conquering city after city and country after country in the first 100 years. What did the immediate disciples of Jesus do? They spread the gospel and were killed and crucified for doing that. Now, as we look through Islamic history, we see often Islam has grown by the sword. We see often Islam has advanced by the sword. We see in the last century of the so-called golden age of Islam that Christianity was almost completely eradicated from the Middle East and Northern Africa by the sword of Islam. We're talking about around the 13th century, whereas you have to go fully 1,000 years after the time of Jesus to find something like the Crusades. And even then, that was to take back land that had been taken by Muslims, and it was more of a military affair than anything. But even then, that remains aberrant in our history. And you don't have anything like that for 1,000 years, and then you don't have anything like that in a church-wide way following in the centuries after the Crusades. And then, not only that, you have teaching from major contemporary Islamic leaders, devout Muslims who lead these various terrorist groups and who fuel the fires on a national level of this radical Islamic ideology, teaching after teaching after teaching that justifies these things, whereas you have no major recognized Christian leaders who are calling for Christians to advance their faith by way of the sword and go around killing the unbelievers. We're not talking about a war where your country's invaded by some other country and you're fighting back. We're not talking about a home invasion where you're defending yourself. We're talking about followers of Jesus going out and expanding their faith, spreading their faith by killing other people. It does not exist. So here it is in short. Radical Islam says, deny Jesus as Son of God and Lord, or we will kill you. Radical Christianity says, you can kill us, but we won't deny Jesus as Lord. So to try to make Christian radical teaching anything other than the radical following of Jesus is to completely misrepresent the Savior and the cross. 866-348-7884. With that, let me... Let me just refer to this. I did a poll on Twitter. And again, this is just polling people who are following me, all right? But I did a poll on Twitter asking, okay, we're electing a president, not a pope, not a pastor, not a priest. How many of you think that integrity is important for the president? 98% said yes. 92% said it was important for the person to be God-fearing. Well, I believe that. 100% for me. So I believe that. How do you reconcile that with supporting Donald Trump? That's what concerns me. And yes, on a personal level, I've endorsed Senator Cruz. As a ministry, we endorse no one. As a ministry, we'll cover everything fairly. And if I appreciated something Marco Rubio did, I'd say that. If I appreciated something that Bernie Sanders did, I'd say that. Okay? So I'm not trying to, get people against Donald Trump to help Senator Cruz. I'm not being political. These, to me, are moral issues, cultural issues. And I am your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Carla in Durham, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to say you truly are that voice that you claim to be. And I believe that God has placed you in this generation for this particular time. It's puzzling to me the comments that you can read that people say. And it's almost like they're just falling into their own deception. There's craziness everywhere, but I've always heard you to be fair. I've always heard you to want to hear through the other person's side. And I thank God for you. I thank God that you're in this world at this time, being the voice that the airwaves need to have. I praise God for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for the kind words. And of course, there are going to be people who oppose and mock that. That goes with the turf. But we know by God's grace that there are far more that agree and that we're helping to represent. In fact, those responding to my article and video on Donald Trump, the great majority were in agreement. I've been getting letters from Christian leaders thanking me for stating these things. But Carla, it's so meaningful that you share this because I take this with such responsibility. I know what it is to have a platform like this on radio and in writing and public speaking. And I want to represent God's people. I want to articulate things that are important to you in a fair and godly way so that your voice can get out as well. So thank you so much for the kind words. Much appreciated, and may God's blessings be on you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Let's go to El Paso, Texas. Barbara, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown, and thank you so much for taking my call. God has used you many times over the years to speak to my heart, so thank you so much for your ministry.
Oh, you're very welcome.
My husband is a strident supporter of Donald Trump, and the reasons he gives make a lot of sense to me, and he is an evangelical. He serves at a church, actually. We have endured so much audacity from this current president that it almost seems like we need someone that is just as audacious, or I'm not saying that we do, but it seems to me that this is why it's striking a chord with so many people, because he is audacious, because he almost is a counterpoint to the audacity of Barack Obama and what we've had to endure all these years. And he does seem to have the pulse of the people. Many times he has spoken, I mean, some of the things he says are cruel and they're not godly, and I'm not sure about where his walk is, but he does say many times things that I wish that others were saying. And, for instance,
here's the concern, and thanks for your kind words as well. Yeah. Here's my concern. You don't fight flesh with flesh. You don't
right.
counter one wrong extreme with another wrong extreme. You counter the wrong extreme with balanced truth. And yet, people are exasperated, they're fed up, they're angry. When you appeal to that, you're almost always going to get wrong results. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Jacob, James chapter 1 tells us. So yeah, I have no question that what your husband's saying is right in terms of what he's appealing to, but that's the wrong appeal. They're basically all of the Republican candidates, or virtually all of them, would be very, very much opposite to President Obama in many, many ways, some less than others. But there are quite a few that would very strongly be the opposite of him on family issues, on life issues, on Israel issues, on national security issues, on immigration issues. So we have so much to choose from. Why go from flesh to flesh? But thank you for the call.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Kip, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir, Michael. Thank you. I was listening to your program, and a couple of things came to mind concerning Donald Trump. I think the appeal in Donald Trump comes out of an understanding of just how dirty the Democrats are. And when you enter into that arena, you better have a street fighter, because the one they're going to put out there, the princess, she has a history, a tangible, observable history of being dirty. So there's a lot of appeal to Donald, because in a sense the guy's a street fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Now put her in there with him, and he will prevail. Put Dr. Carson in there, and she'll eat his lunch in about the first 5 minutes.
Now, you know what's interesting? You make an important observation about the street fighter. I don't doubt that. I think there's a lot of truth to it. It's interesting that in a recent poll, six different Republicans outpolled Hillary. If it was head to head, that candidate versus Hillary Clinton, six of them would beat her. And Marco Rubio is actually at the top of that list. Now, your point would be, yeah, easier said than done once the battle starts. Of course, she and the Clinton machine were not able to take down Barack Obama. And he succeeded in beating her. Was that by him being a street fighter or by him being savvy? I think more being savvy, but I understand what you're saying, but let me just give you a bit of my own experience. When I debated a rabbi one time, very, very liberal, hardly even believed in God, the debate became somewhat of a street fight. And as much as I tried to conduct myself in a dignified way, to deal with some of the street fighting tactics, I had to jump in a little bit more and say, get my hands dirtier than normal. It, to me, that lowered the whole debate. And although it was clear where the truth was in the debate, or clear who the real believer was in God and the scriptures, I would say it's not one of the best debates I've done to present Jesus as the Messiah. So is there a way, Kip, to be tough and strong and savvy and defeat a street fighter? I say yes, without having to become a street fighter. So what do you think?
Well, I think that it's my personal belief that Cruz will be the guy. Donald is like the former governor of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura. He's a flash in the pan. He came out and said a lot of things that the people like to hear. But the thing, as a voter, as a 72-year-old voter, I'm watching for is substance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't give me all this fluff and all these flowers and these snarling outbursts, and that's not going to do it.
Yep.
You have to have some skill, and I think Cruz probably possesses that, and yet he's got enough fire in his belly to carry it through. But I would reiterate that just from a funny comment I heard on one of the last debates made by Mike Huckabee in the last 30 seconds, where they give them an opportunity to talk to the audience, and he is telling how he has worked in Arkansas for many years, and he has beaten the Clintons many times. And then he made a most interesting statement. He said, "And I lived to tell about it."
Yeah, that was a pretty intense statement if you read between the lines there, huh?
Well, yeah, and if you've done any research concerning MENA, Arkansas, and some of the involvements of the Clintons down there, they're nobody to fool with, Mike. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, understood. And listen, in my view, if Senator Cruz does become the Republican candidate and does become actually the president of the United States, it would be by the grace and help of God. In other words, he has taken on the Republican establishment, calling it the Washington cartel, the Republican and Democrat, and alienated enough people that the theory is without the support of the main establishment base, you're not going to get it in. You're not going to get elected. Now, he succeeded in Texas, and I was told that he did the same thing there. He said, I'm not doing it the good old boy way. He was told he'd never make it in and won by 14 points.
Yeah.
So to me, it's important. One reason I considered Donald Trump and looked at things was, as much as I had reservations, he was so non-establishment that I thought, you know, could be. But the more I look at it, no, it can't be, in my view. Someone like Marco Rubio has many values that I share and has spoken out passionately about some things that are important to me. Could he take on the establishment if he was elected? Let's say he got elected. Could he do something once he was in? That's the other challenge. So I think people think of Donald Trump as that, not just defeating Hillary Clinton, but once you get in, you got to kind of be your own man to make something happen and to say, I don't care what Congress says, I don't care what anybody says, we're going to do this. But of course, you can't do that and be the president because you have to work together. Could Ted Cruz have enough of alliance to work with people? Is he a bridge builder? Those are questions that remain to be seen. But hey, Kip, appreciate the dialogue and the points that you've made. And by the way, since we're out of time now, I just want you to know that I took every call from anyone who identified as a Donald Trump supporter. Since a good number of the calls were not from his supporters or for those who clearly would not support him, I don't want you to think I skewed it. I took every call where I saw that the person, somebody I didn't get to, I was talking to somebody, and when I went to take the call, they weren't there anymore. But I took every call that I could from a Donald Trump supporter. So just wanted you to know that. You're always welcome to call if it's a relevant phone, relevant call-in day. Hey, just a reminder, I know that many of you, are shopping for holiday gifts at this time of the year. Why not give something edifying that will be a blessing for years to come? If you appreciate our materials, my books, any of my 27 books, or, well, one's not out yet, so say 26, or of my resources, DVDs, debates, teaching series, 30% off everything in the bookstore. Everything. You can be the biggest order of all time or the smallest order of all time. It's 30% off. It could be a download, an audio or video download. 30% off. It's our joy to do it. We did it on Friday, and we extended it again today to be a blessing to you. So it's not available by phone. You have to do this on our website. Go to AskDrBrown.org, and when you order, just type in all caps THANKFUL30. THANKFUL30 when you're checking out. That's the code to use. So that's at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the store to take advantage of that. I hope it's be a blessing to you during this time of the year. Just a great time to take advantage of this discount. And friends, whether you agree with me or disagree with me on Donald Trump, we remain fellow followers of Jesus, committed to exalting him above all. My bottom line today, things are going to get increasingly volatile as the election season wears on. Let us keep our heads about us and ground our hearts in the grace and goodness of the Lord.